Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Did not know the week I was out, Seth, that I would be coming back in on Monday and have a Jack Easterby audio cut on the Big Red Car.
When I looked in the show prep and I saw that you had this clip, I was kind of grateful because I knew I was being a bad professional, if that's indeed what I am. But I couldn't listen to this interview. I couldn't. I was like, this isn't what the forefathers wanted. Not on this Independence Day weekend. I can't do it. I can't dishonor America by listening to this Jack Easterby interview. So I kind of waited for the aggregators to maybe get some clips.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see anything scintillating coming out. Okay. So I'm like, all right, I skated by and I shirked my duties, but I avoided the Jack Easterby interview. Now back to reality.
This is funny now to me then. Okay, I like that backstory because you know who sent this interview to me? Seth Payne. So now I know. Now I know. Man, it's so good to be back. I missed you. But now I know that was sent to me like, hey, man. Because you sent that to me with no other text. It was just a Jack Easterby interview and no other text.
Maybe I was a text. Punting on third down on that one, man.
So what I know now, the parenthetical text to go along with that was, you listen to this. I ain't listening to this.
Yeah.
And I did.
I set you up with my ugly sister-in-law.
Dude, that makes you sending that to me so much funnier.
Great. Yeah, you'll have a great time. Yeah, I know. We can go double date together and everything.
Well, it's weird, too, because we love Ross, right? You know, we love Ross, and he's interviewing Jack Easterby, who is, you know, like, from the second he left here, it feels like everything has started to turn back into sunshine and roses again, you know?
Need to point out real quick that I don't have any ugly sister-in-laws.
No,
Just in case, you know, they're listening. All listening.
That's right.
They're all hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, what are these damn morality? Yeah.
So Jack Easterby did an interview with Ross Tucker. It's about 20 minutes. And they talk about the Texans in the last few minutes. Honestly, this felt like an interview. It was one of those things like where at the end, like, so what are you up to now, Jack? And I'm like, okay, this feels like, it felt like a Radio Row interview a little bit from that standpoint. I'm not trying to like throw shade or anything like that. This was, Ross didn't really hold Jack Easterby's feet to the fire or anything in this interview over any of the peccadilloes that went on while he was here. The one answer here that got Texan fans and anybody associated with the Texans, I would imagine, worked up or like, okay, rolling their eyes a little bit was, and you haven't listened to this obviously yet, Seth. This is a long cut, so maybe what we do is play that little game where if we feel like stopping it at times and reacting.
We have to pause when we hear BS.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Then keep a tally.
This is, hope you got ink in that pen. Yeah. All right, this was Jack Easterby on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast last week when he was asked, why were you so polarizing during your time with Houston.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think these cities love their teams, right? I mean, every city wants their team to be competing in January this time of year, right, for a championship. And so anything that is going on that potentially may be in between each city and their idea of success, they're going to scrutinize it. And that's a good thing because it shows the passion of each fan base. I think, you know, we were in Houston. There's a lot of transition. You know, there was just a lot of transition.
Okay, wait a second. All right, so he starts it off with fan sentiment. Oh, the fans are passionate about it.
And that's a
somehow.
Good thing, Seth. Yeah.
All right. So he's leading into somehow the fans are going to be the cause of all of this, which is really a shot at Cal and Hannah McNair, if anything. This is the kind of owners that are going to cave under unpopular fan sentiment or something.
So okay. he be prepared. He's about to talk about all the transition that went on in the building. As if it were something he went and got some popcorn out of the cafeteria and just started watching all the transition take place.
As if he had just arrived, right?
Yeah.
That he wasn't a part of creating all of those transitions.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
There was just a lot of transition. And I think naturally transition draws skepticism because it just doesn't always begat trust. It doesn't make people think, hey, this is what is going on. I can trust what's going on. You know, I mean, I was just talking about the Steelers earlier, and you think about, you know, the consistency over the years of their front offices, right? It makes you want to trust it. You know what it is. You know what to expect. You know what, you know, who's going to show up.
I call it BS because, yeah, we knew what to expect. Like, it was a litany of some of the worst deals that anybody's ever made while you were the co-general manager.
Yeah.
And hiding behind a cloak of having an undefinable position or whatever it might be, to the point where a certain percentage of the actual fans bought your BS and would try to tell me, like, no, Seth, he's not actually all that involved. Meanwhile, you know, he's 100% involved. Bill O'Brien is telling us how involved he is.
Yep.
So the transitions that were happening at the time of his firing was the end result of a whole bunch of transitions that he actually sparked.
Yeah.
You know, so BS.
Yeah. Before we hit play again, that to me, like, as I go back and listen to that, and as the way you frame things, that might have been the most frustrating part of that era. That, like, Easterby got here in like April of 2019. And then was gone by 2022. O'Brien in the middle, like almost directly in the middle of that, gets fired. And now you're starting to go through a real tear down and rebuild and having to clean up all the mess. Is that, like, until they actually had titles, nobody had titles. It was the flat organizational structure. His way, hey, what does Jack Easterby do? Everything. You know, it was like, and Bill O'Brien, we get asked about GM things, and he would demur to, like, no, I'm not a GM. It's all these other people. The lack of clarity. And I think I'm using this cut not to, like, throw the Texans under the bus. It was a bad time. Everybody knows that. It's to illustrate, one, that Jack Easterby is still making excuses for people out there in the public when it looks like clearly he's trying to get back into the NFL would be my guess. And number two, we do have clarity now. We know who the GM is. We know who the head coach is. You know, ownership is doing a better job. All those things.
That whole part of Jack Easterby not actually being all that involved compared to, you know, one player told me that it was weird because Easterby was always there.
Always.
You go to have a meeting with Bill O'Brien and Easterby sitting there in the corner taking notes.
Yeah.
Like, he was everywhere.
Yep.
So, yeah, there was transition, partly because, and this is where I think people are very grateful to Lovie Smith for winning the Colts game that ultimately gave the Texans C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
I think when Lovie Smith got hired, it felt to me, just by being at events and stuff, like Easterby all of a sudden was very much marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only several months into Lovie Smith's, it was a half year into his tenure, midway through the season, that he ended up getting fired. That there was definitely some people that had seen all of Easterby's BS and were calling BS on it by the time he was let go.
Yeah, that is an interesting thought. Like, in this whole litany of things, it's not maybe draft night or hiring D'Amico Ryans. It's Lovie Smith deserves at least a thank you note or something whole thing.
Lovie Smith's been in the league a long time, on a bunch of different teams, seen good coaches, bad coaches, all of that. He's a guy that you can tell by his beard that this guy can sniff out the BS.
Yes.
He's like a shark in that regard.
He is.
He can smell one particle of BS in a million parts of water.
That's right.
And he's going to zero in on it. So I've never seen anything reported or anything that Lovie Smith was part of it, but I think Lovie Smith could totally see and smell the BS with Jack Easterby.
And then in the middle of the Lovie Smith season is when Easterby gets let go. And how much more do we have left on this cut?
Almost 2 minutes.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. All right. I'll hold off on the bell.
Okay. Let's continue.
It makes you want to trust it. You know what it is. You know what to expect. You know what, who's going to show up in relationship to their top roles. And that obviously gives a lot of consistency and good vibes off to the city. And I think during my time in Houston, we had a lot of transition. In 2018, the owner transitioned. Bob passed away, and he was just such a great legacy for the city of Houston and sports, and I think made a tremendous, difference in Houston sports history by landing the Texans, by bringing them there. So when he transitions, that's a huge thing. And then obviously a lot of the staff members transitioned to the front office. And some of those, obviously, I knew well. Some of them I didn't know as well. So I think whenever you have a lot of transition, and then to your point, a unique background, I think that, when you're leading people, it's all about trying to get people unified around a mission, right? And then making sure that you can be effective and efficient in that mission. That's what it's about. And so I think
that you need that. Can I ding here?
Ding. I got it. I got my bell.
Okay, cool. I got mine too.
I threw it against the wall, so it doesn't resonate as much as normal. Go ahead.
The whole thing there, like he's going from transition. He's like, he caused a lot of the transition, like he's
right. And no, and everybody's got to have a vision. And that's what you're responsible for, is creating a vision that people can latch onto. And I'm glad he brought up the transition of Cal McNair taking over after Bob McNair passes away, because that's exactly when he was able to swoop in. And the whole, if you look at Easterby, it is a beautiful illustration of when people tell you that everything is sales. Yeah. And that, yes, everything is sales. And what you need to know about sales is that people very rarely actually make decisions based on the logic of things. Mm-hmm. They fall in love with what you're selling them.
Yep.
They fall in love with what your vision is. And Jack Easterby was a guy that had built himself up into almost an easy button when it comes to, like, oh, all of those human things and all of the personnel, like the personality side of things, the heart of the matter, the stuff that maybe Bill O'Brien lacks or that maybe an owner lacks, Jack Easterby is the easy button for all of this.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yep.
He's a brilliant salesman.
Yeah.
I bet after this interview, Ross came away from it thinking, like, boy, I feel like this guy's gotten a bad rap. He might have.
It was basically an interview about his career biography.
Remember, I had that hour long conversation with Jack Easterby. It was during COVID. I was locked up in my place and just and it was interesting because I've been around enough people like Jack Easterby by this point in my life that I know what to watch out for, because I know how charming and effective they are. And it was like out of a textbook. It was like, oh, he found common. He complimented me a bunch, found some common ground, things that, told me I had some very, I was saying some very insightful things. And you realize, you're like, I don't want to be a cynical D-bag here, but man, dude, you're following the handbook of how to manipulate
people. Did he bring up Jacksonville with you? Because he got his start in Jacksonville just like you did in the NFL.
No, I didn't. Yeah. The thing that was curiously on his resume for 3 years on the website, that he was the assistant GM in Jacksonville before it was finally created. No, remember when Easterby came in and I said, something doesn't smell right about all of this. And then I called up, because I saw on the initial press report that he was assistant GM. So I called somebody up from Jacksonville who's been in the organization the entire time. And he was like, I'm so glad you called. I don't know who the hell this guy is. I don't know what he's talking about. No. He's like, this guy had to ask like three different people before somebody remembered Jack Easterby.
Guy who's a Heritage employee in the building, seen everybody, knows everybody, did not know who the hell Jack Easterby was.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right, and if the unifying thing is what made me hit the ding there, I'm like, that's the opposite of what you did, unifying people in the building. What are we talking about? All right, let's finish this thing out.
I think the unique background I had actually allowed me to do that well. It allowed me to get people unified around the Houston Texans.
Get a buzz on that. You keep it playing, Ben. Just
get the foundation built for what they needed to become. Once all the other football things fell in place. But I think it was that transition piece, and then I also think, there was a lot of people that, quite frankly, we had to transition out of there, and so that was probably one of the other things I would say that was really hard for people to understand on the outside. But fans love football, man, and so if they like, hey, this is in between me and where I want to be, there's going to be criticism, and justifiably so. That comes with it, right? I mean, that's just a part of it.
So the fans got it. Fans got me fired.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of all sorts of people, and this transition was really just a bear of the whole thing.
Taking credit for laying the foundation is like, this is a classic offensive hallmark trait of Jack Easterby, is taking credit for things that he didn't do. Because we saw it firsthand when he took credit for something that I knew somebody on the Texans staff had like taken the initiative to do this one thing.
Yes.
And then Jack Easterby was telling everybody like, see what I did?
What do you think, huh?
See what I did? Yeah. It's just an awful era in the sporting history of Houston.
It was. It's over. Thankfully, it's over. Man.
Honestly, it's one of the hardest things to deal with, because when you see it, when you watch it unfold, and I was like, enough people were trying to raise the alarm, but it just was going unlistened to. Because what happens with, I don't know if Jack Easterby is a sociopath, but this is something sociopaths are really good at.
Yeah.
They can warp everything to the point where the person who's trying to shed some light on it looks like the crazy person.
Yep.
Because he can contort his way out of anything, and he can make a lot of really good people who are going crazy watching something feel like they're the crazy ones, because every time they try to tell somebody, it's just met with blank stares. Because like, oh no, that couldn't possibly be true. And he's got an explanation for everything.
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating. And you end up just biding your time and waiting for the lies to collapse on top of themselves.
Yep.
Because they're so good at factionalizing people, pitting people against each other, and creating all of these things that distract you from what the dude is actually doing.
Well, this is ultimately how bad he was at it, is that he is getting no sniffs from anybody in the NFL right now. There are some really, really incompetent people around the NFL at the level Jack Easterby operated at with the Texans that get second chances all the time with other teams. And
he's from the Carolinas, right?
Yeah.
Or Georgia?
South Carolina, yeah.
South Carolina. You know who's in the Carolinas right now? Bill Belichick.
Right.
And Easterby started off in a college setting.
Yep.
Like, that's where he started his whole shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florio speculates about that a little bit. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, speculated. He wrote a piece about the Easterby interview with Ross Tucker and speculated, because Easterby is from South Carolina. I think he's living in North Carolina now, Seth. So he's back in that area. And speculating that, boy, can you imagine? I mean, the drama that's already swirling around the whole Belichick, Jordan Hudson thing in North Carolina, and then you drop Jack Easterby, drop that Molotov cocktail into the whole thing. It's
Jack Easterby and Jordan Hudson as a power couple. No, you got a platonic power couple.
Platonic power couple.
Just kind of pulling the strings behind the curtains, in front of the curtains.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm the one pulling the strings here. I want credit for this.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. But it doesn't seem like he's getting a sniff from anybody in the NFL. So,
well, when you see the way Belichick has kind of compromised himself by, succumbing to the adoration of a younger woman and some of the weirdness that's ensued because of it. Yeah. You can see how he was kind of taken in by Jack Easterby.
Yeah, a little bit.
Jack Easterby, everybody describes Jack Easterby at New England was like, oh boy, the players had all the trust in the world in him. And this is where everything didn't smell right from the very beginning for me. And then I shut up about it because nobody wanted to listen to me. I'd learned from dealing with sociopaths, you just got to shut up and bide your time. In New England, it was, oh, yeah, he gains the players' trust and confidence, but he's also a really good resource because he tells Belichick what the players are thinking. I'm like, dude, this dude's a snitch.
He's a rat.
You guys, how are you this stupid that you don't see it.
They're like
the players, and there were players on the Texans like this who were too dumb to understand that they were being bought off with boom boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just all the cool stuff he was doing in the locker room and the music system and all that. Like, yeah, like he'll buy you off, and then he's gonna go and tattle to the head coach everything you say to him.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm glad it's over. Glad it's over. Glad we are where we are now. We are a little over 2 weeks away from training camp starting, so that's good. July 23rd, first practice. Can't wait for that.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do some acknowledgements from over the weekend. A little acknowledge me action. We do that every Monday at about this time, at about 7:20. I texted Seth. Oh, let's explain for the newly indoctrinated. We get new listeners all the time. Acknowledge me is a way to acknowledge big performances from over the weekend or the week or in general. I'll read a name, then Gary, our producer, will play the Roman Reigns, acknowledge me, and we will all acknowledge. In your car, listening on the app, we will acknowledge. Seth, I texted you over the weekend. I said, we could do the whole acknowledge me segment, just pull out the box score for Friday's game against the Dodgers and just read it if we want to. That was fun. Embarrassing the Dodgers 18-1 on the 4th of July, making their fans sit through that route to get to watch their fireworks. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to acknowledge every Astro that either had a home run or had three hits in that game, or both in some cases. Isak Paredes, home run. Jake Meyers, three hits, three runs scored. Jose Altuve, three hits, two home runs, five RBIs. And they were booing. Keep booing, man. Just keep booing.
Yeah. Oh, they're so stupid.
Just keep booing.
The Yankees fans, at least, have kind of learned, like, okay, nothing good comes of this.
Yeah.
But they just kept booing Altuve. Yep.
Yeah, man.
And goaded on by Oral Hershiser.
That's it.
That nerd.
Yes.
And, yeah, there you go. Take your medicine. You've got injuries. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the four starting pitchers that the Astros have on the IL.
Yeah. Oh, and they're all
starting. And Lance McCullers comes in. They cleared the weight room of any loose objects and what have you. Lance McCullers comes in, gives you six innings, takes one off the heel.
Yep.
I'm like, oh boy, took a hard hit off the heel off of Shohei Ohtani.
Yep.
Which Mauricio Dubon ended up catching.
Yep.
But it was, take your medicine. Astros are dealing with stuff too, and they're not whining about it or making vague cheating accusations about it.
Damn right, man.
Idiots.
Damn right.
Enjoy your stupid fireworks.
We still got a couple more guys here. Christian Walker, four hits, four RBIs, a home run. I had no idea that Christian Walker was such a Dodger killer when the Astros signed him, but that was mentioned several times over the weekend, how he loves hitting in Dodger Stadium.
And he had home runs in seven of his last eight games there.
He's
just completely destroyed all kind of Dodger Stadium.
Yes,
That Dodgers loss was the worst one they've ever had in that stadium.
Yeah.
And then going back in the franchise history, I want to say it was like 1938 or something.
Man.
The last time they had a loss that bad.
That was on the 4th of July, right? Yeah, that was on Friday. So that was Amy and I went out to dinner, and then it was a long day at the beach. So we go back, we go get something to eat. We come back and we were listening or streaming the Astros game, I forget. But we lay down and I'm like, I'm going to take a little nap before we go out for the night. And I, when I kind of nodded off, it was like 4-1. And it was one of those things where you, when you're taking a nap, you kind of wake up like every 20 minutes or 25 minutes. It went from like 4-1 to 14-1. Amy's like, hey, the Astros are up 14-1 now. I'm like, what the hell? How long have I been asleep for?
I know. You know, the other great thing about that game too was you end up only using two pitchers.
Yeah.
Jason Alexander finished the game out with three innings.
Yeah.
McCullers won six innings.
It was great.
And then also Zach Short.
Yeah.
I know, because he didn't get a home run, he didn't meet your list of acknowledgments.
Yeah.
But for a guy that's a 167 career hitter, right now with the Astros so far this season, hitting 667 with a 1750 OPS.
Yeah, he had a great series, man. And in big spots, too. That bases-loaded walk yesterday was absolutely huge. Don't want to leave out Victor Caratini. Three hits, four RBIs. They all came on one swing, and this is what it sounded like.
Caratini skies one deep to right field. Has he done it twice on this road trip? He has! Second grand slam on the trip for Caratini. The Astros score four, and it's a 13-1 lead.
All right. So there we go. Two grannies for Victor Caratini during
yeah,
the week.
They've and they've lifted themselves out of the that ridiculously bad batting average they had with the bases loaded.
Yes. Yes, so they have.
Yeah. I mean, I got to the point where I didn't dread when Zach Shorts got that walk for an RBI on the bases loaded. I wasn't entering that situation with that sense of dread.
Yep.
Victor Caratini has rescued me.
He squashed that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are now, but yeah, they've been much better with the bases loaded for sure. Let's give Lance a little acknowledgement too. Got a rough one before that Dodgers outing, but six innings pitched, one earned, one run, four strikeouts. Lance was solid. They're going to need him for sure. And I want a second acknowledgement for Jose Altuve, if I could. Passed Jeff Bagwell during the week, Seth, over the weekend for second all-time in hits as an Astro. So the countdown to 3,000 for Jose Altuve officially on. The last one to catch in an Astro, the last person he needs to catch in an Astros uniform on the all-time team hit list is Craig Biggio with 3,060.
You were on vacation when he got 3,000, obviously, but it was I don't know if you saw it. It was a beautiful bunt when he when he got 3,000.
When he tied
Jeff Bagwell.
When he tied him. Yeah.
It was a beautiful bunt.
Oh, really?
It was gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. I feel like Bagwell would have appreciated that, you know?
Oh,
like
that's
that is old school. Bagwell will tell you any day of the week that bunts and squibbers to the infield to the short outfield are how you win games, not home runs.
Oh, so, yeah, that's true. That's
I feel
right.
Like the
forgot about that. Those are the hits that win games. Like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, Altuve in this series hit 545.
Yeah, we six for 11. Yeah,
2208 OPS.
Yeah, yeah.
He was pretty good versus the Dodgers. Keep booing him, idiots.
Yep, that's right. And I like Bagwell, you know, Bagwell had some nice quotes when Altuve passed him on the all-time hits list about Altuve and stuff. I'm like, all right, this is the Bagwell I want. I want the Bagwell who we remember for what a great player he is. And when big things happen, milestones happen with the current Astros, he's there to give a nice quote about it and make us feel good and think of the good old days. The one that's helping sign Jose Abreu, that's the one I don't need anymore. I think we're good. I think we're okay. I want to acknowledge a non-Astro real quick, Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens has one win in his last. Paul Skeens, the ace of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He is undoubtedly one of the best pitchers in baseball, without a doubt. He has one win in his last 13 starts for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh.
Why would I acknowledge such subpar performance? Someone who's won in whatever in his last 13 starts. I don't know what his record is in those games, but they've only won. He has one win in his last 13 starts. His ERA is 1.72. To put that into context, he's got a better ERA than Hunter Brown in those better ERA than Hunter Brown has for the season in those 13 starts.
It's like a really sad version of that year that Verlander went. It felt like he went months without a win.
Yeah,
when he was still pitching really well. He was getting no run support whatsoever.
Yes.
But the Astros were still winning, at least.
They were winning,
This is a very sad version of that.
It's a sad version. This is a nuclear version of that with no end in sight for Paul Skeens because he's under team control for like another 5 years.
And Framber had a little bit of the opposite of that. You know, Framber had one of his rougher outings, but they continue to just win consecutive games when he's pitching.
Yeah, man. Yep. So, Paul Skeens, we acknowledge you. We know you want to get the hell out of there ASAP.
I feel like Skeens is kind of an illustration of where we are in society with baseball, that it's become a very regionalized thing.
Yeah.
Except that Skeens, because his girlfriend is Libby Dunn,
yeah,
I feel gets way more notoriety for being a really good pitcher on a bad team than he otherwise would have.
Yeah.
Like there's a much better chance that Paul Skeens is recognized on the street outside of Pittsburgh just because somebody knows Libby Dunn.
I agree with that.
There's that celebrity duo.
Yep.
Braxton Berrios dynamic,
with
I like
Alex
to call
Earl.
It.
Yep, I think so. D'Amico Ryans had a street named after him over the weekend, Seth, in his hometown of Bessemer, Alabama. How about that?
And again, I'm going to thank you for finding the audio because there was the local news station in Bessemer. Did on their YouTube had like a 45-minute basically just raw video of this process.
The whole ceremony?
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, I kept zoning out, and it was a bunch of community leaders. I don't know if any of them actually knew D'Amico. I was waiting for his high school football coach or something to get up. I'm glad you found this clip because I zoned out during whenever this clip was played.
Here we go. This is the beginning of D'Amico's speech right in the middle of the town there on the new D'Amico Ryan Street in Bessemer, Alabama.
I would like to start off just by saying thank you so much. What a humbling moment. What a memorable moment. You guys have definitely shown out, Big Bessemer. I guess I finally found the road to success. So I am incredibly honored and humbled as to have a street named after me. This recognition means more than words can express. Thank you to everyone here who made this possible.
That is pretty cool, man. And you're like in your home. I don't care how big or small your hometown is. They name a street after you.
A street named after you is
pretty
badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be number two on my list of things that, like, list of gestures that acknowledge me. Number one would be I want a slot machine of me at the Golden Nugget or any casino. You know, you walk through and, there's the Wizard of Oz slot machine. There's the Willy Wonka slot machine. Tillman has slot machines of himself in the Golden Nugget. I'm like, that would be badass to have a slot machine with my likeness on it, you know?
You should get a – what street is your bar there on?
Lizards? Sackett Street.
Sackett Street?
Yeah.
I don't know what this Sackett dude did back in the day.
Good point, but Seth.
He probably didn't support the local economy like you do.
On that
on
street.
Sackett Street.
On Sackett
that bar that you hang out across from the elementary school every day?
It's Lizards. Yeah, it's on Sackett Street. It's right.
Right. Yeah. You go and you sit out on the porch and it's directly across from that elementary school.
It's next to an elementary
you
school.
You go, you sit and you drink across from the elementary school.
I sit and drink at a bar that happens
that's
to
across
be,
from an elementary school.
It's next to you're a jerk. It's it. Yeah.
Hey, kids! here comes the blonde mom in a Bentley.
There are some good-looking moms that do pull up at the school. That is true. You were going with it, that's fine.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. I don't know where your head is. I figured you were scoping out all the River Oaks rich women.
There's a long line that pulls up to that school. That is true. That is true. All right, last acknowledgement here. For acknowledge me, the Rockets, Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, Timberwolves, Suns, for all managing to stay awake long enough on whatever Zoom calls they were having to concoct a 7-team trade that ultimately is the deal that has brought Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. This is what makes me mad, Seth. As somebody who does written content for the Houston Press, oftentimes I'll do 4 biggest trades, 5 biggest trades, 6 most important trade. You know, you're looking for something, you need a piece for today. Oh, God, I need something. I need some content. Oh, let's just do 4 most intriguing trades of the last 5 years, something like that. It's easy enough to write Deshaun Watson gets traded for 3 first-round picks and these other picks. It's easy to write, the Texans trade this pick and that pick to move up and get Will Anderson. Are you telling me I got to write down this damn every detail of this 7-team trade? Now, anytime I write about the Kevin Durant trade, 7 teams.
Yeah. Good for you, Rafael Stone, and being part of a 7-team trade.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it puts you almost in the there's almost a damn quarter of the actual league was involved with it.
Yeah.
But it does feel like I feel like Rafael Stone – has taken a lot of the analytical side that Daryl Morey was famous for, but really also understood the human side, maybe to a greater degree. And, you know, and credit Udoka with that.
100%, like, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
But I don't know how well Morey and Udoka would have jived when it came to some of the analytical decisions and what have you.
Yeah.
I think this Rockets team feels a lot more like the Astros in the way that they've been able to blend the personality with the analytics.
Yeah.
That you're just, there's certain things that you can't necessarily, there's just certain things that you can't measure yet.
Yeah.
And but you got to account for them.
I mean, I've seen this point made a lot over the last week or so, really since free agency started. And this is not to get too nerdy about the NBA CBA, but if you listen to this show and other shows, you've heard this whole thing about this second apron over the cap.
Yeah.
And it is very restrictive. It is extremely rich. Like, once you hit that, and the Rockets aren't close to it, but a lot of teams are that have gone all in on certain guys. I think Phoenix is one of those teams. They had Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant as their big three. Didn't work. And now you got to tear it down. And so the one thing I've seen a lot of, like Bobby Marks, I think the former GM, I saw him say this on ESPN over the weekend, is that now with this second apron, you're committing to a group of guys where if it doesn't work out, you're out, is that you probably got to tear things down to some degree. You know, Denver's GM said that about their team a couple of weeks ago, where he's like, man, if we get one bad injury, we might have to be looking at trading Nikola Jokic just because we're not a contender anymore. You have to be able to identify leadership and guys that love basketball when you're working in that environment. If you all of a sudden, you get a guy like Bradley Beal who just likes to go out and score 20 points a night and then has a no trade clause, you're screwed. And there's myriad of other examples of that. And I think that's where the chemistry and the human side of it that you just talked about, it's even bigger nowadays because of the way the CBA is, that once you commit to your big dollar guys, they better be big dollar guys that are coachable and love basketball. And I think that's what they've got with the Rockets.
There were, while you were gone, Chris Blanco, the assistant GM of the Texans, did an interview with Ari Myroff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, and this is probably where things have settled in most sports with the analytics, is that now it's become such a part of it that the people know, you know, like when to lean into the numbers and when to sometimes be like, well, you know what, the old timers, they're not idiots. And like sometimes if the numbers don't match the eyeball test, that you got to go to the eyeballs.
Yes.
Like, okay, there's something wrong here.
Yep.
And I think that Caserio understands that part of it. Chris Blanco is interesting to listen to because he's the first thing he cited when he talked about what they're looking for, one of the big things he said was like an aggressiveness that shows up on film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like, and I don't know. Maybe with the GPS data and everything, they can quantify that now. But a lot of that is just simply like, oh, that's a nasty dude.
That guy likes to hit.
That dude is nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
This will be our guy that gets suspended for unnecessary roughness this year.
Yeah.
That's why I can see D'Amico standing up on the third day of the draft and being like, guys, have we really drafted that many suspension-worthy players yet? Give me some guys that got some suspension in them, all right?
Yes. Yeah. We're lucky right now, man. All three teams run really well and run with a lot of the same principles, I think, too. All right, that's Acknowledge Me on a Monday. Good to be back. All right, I was totally joking yesterday. Let's stay on the Rockets for a minute. I was totally joking about a proposal that I had about the Rockets after they dropped videos of the departing players. They're going out in the trade. That if the Rockets win the title, they should do this. But apparently, to a lot of you out there, this is no joke. I will tell you what it is coming up next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Payne and Pendergast with you, and the Kevin Durant trade is done. The Rockets are moving along here with Kevin Durant as their new star. I proposed this yesterday, Seth. The Rockets put up videos for Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks on the way out. I've never seen this before. I've seen welcome back videos, and I'm sure whatever teams they end up on, they're both Phoenix Suns right now, I think. I don't know. This seven-team trade has me very confused. It doesn't really matter to me where they end up.
Yeah.
But they will come back at some point because you host every team in the NBA at some point during the season. And I think both will get tribute videos when they come back. I've never seen a tribute video on the way out before. The Rockets are really trying to be that person who breaks up with you and says, it's not you, it's me, kind of, you know? Like,
friends with all his exes?
Yeah. I still want to be really good friends with you. Here's a tribute video.
Well, that is, you know what? I mean, that is, to carry the analogy out a little bit, that is on a rainy day or at 2 a.m. on a rainy night. Sometimes it's nice to have that person that you can call up and be like, hey, why don't you come hang out for a little bit?
Maybe,
you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a little phone call.
Can we give Dylan Brooks the old, you up? You know?
Yeah. Dylan Brooks, booty call, yes.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks video was the first one I saw. And the caption on it acknowledged, and I got to open it here. The caption on the video, on the tweet, said this. It's about a minute long video of Dylan Brooks doing Dylan Brooks things, and it says, "Set the tone, cemented the culture. Thank you for what you brought to Houston, Dylan Brooks." Almost as if the Rockets are that guy saying, "Look, you made me a better person, but now it's time for us to move on. But thank you for making me a better person. Thank you for setting the tone for me and cementing my culture." But I'm moving on. I'm going to date Kevin Durant instead. I, tongue-in-cheek, said, I retweeted the video and I said, would we be okay, given the video below, would we be okay, you know, if the Rockets win the title next year, of allowing Dylan Brooks to be part of the parade? You know, maybe not on the float, but like we'll call it the culture setter convertible.
Yeah.
And just put him in the back. And he's got to be behind everybody. He's not on the team anymore. And I was completely joking about this, and I had a lot of people replying to me like, hell yeah, yeah, let's do it. There were a lot of, it's amazing. And what would be incredible to see what these same people were tweeting about Dylan Brooks before he became a Houston Rocket, you know, back when he was on the Memphis Grizzlies antagonizing everybody. I was very surprised at how many people were like, you know what, it's a parade, we can make our own rules. Hell yeah, I want Dylan Brooks in that parade.
You know who was like that for a little bit was Miles Straw. Remember Miles Straw? Because Miles Straw would be showing up at all these different Astros games, and it felt like he's such a likable guy.
Yeah.
And he was there. He was never there for any of the World Series championships, but he was there for the World Series.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks has meant way more to the Rockets organization than Miles Straw meant to the Astros, but I felt a little bit of that vibe with Miles Straw.
Well, I would submit Dylan Brooks has meant more to the Rockets organization as they are currently constructed and handled now than Jalen Green did. I think Dylan Brooks.
Oh yeah, yeah. Brooks was part of setting a culture and a framework and everything else.
Yes. Like,
This is the type of play we want. This is the type of guy we want you to be. That they clearly and obviously didn't think that same way about Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, the biggest thing Jalen Green has done for the Rockets, and I'm not. This isn't me telling the Rockets don't do a tribute video to the guy. Do a tribute video. Do whatever you want. I'm not offended by it or anything. I found it a little strange. That's all. But do it. The biggest thing Jalen Green was able to do for the Rockets in his 4 years here was play well enough to where it impressed the Phoenix Suns enough to trade the Rockets' Kevin Durant. That's what he did. Dylan Brooks actually, to me, provided substantial, intangible elements to a team and a toughness to a team that now I think has a foundation that is made of that. Of that type of toughness.
Yeah. That's the culture now compared to when Udoka took over.
Yeah.
Is just night and day. I mean, I can't remember which player was doing the interview last week where he talked about this, where he heaped a bunch of praise on Silas, but said that, you know, that I think it was Jabari Smith Jr., said that he wasn't the right guy for that bunch of young guys.
Yep.
That was those guys. really needed to be shown the way. And Udoka saw and recognized that and made decisions based on that. Like, yep. All right, who are we going to bring in? How are we going to, establish a culture here? Udoka is much better suited to that task than Silas was.
It is funny, too. Like, these contracts are sort of referendums in a way on how they, like the pecking order of how they feel or felt about some of these young guys. Like, Jalen Grant, it's all silly, stupid money. But I think it's very telling that when it came time to give Jalen Green a contract, they gave him a 3-year deal. And when it came time to give Jabari Smith and Alperen Şengün contracts, they gave each of them 5-year deals. I think that's it felt like Jalen Green's deal was given to him so that he could be part of a bigger trade at some point down the road.
It was the thing that, looking back on it, I just can't believe that we had to make it any more complicated than what it was. Do you know how Udoka felt about Jalen Green? Jalen Green would be off the floor in critical moments in the fourth quarter in the regular season. Yeah. Like that's how he felt about him. And the organization did a great job of acting like, oh no, that's all nonsense. Whatever anybody says about plus minuses and all that, like, no, those are just statistics. Like, no, your actions tell me that you don't actually trust Jalen Green all that much.
Yes. Look at the behavior. Oh, always look at the behavior ahead of the words. No question. No question about it. Cam Whitmore saga finally over. Sent to the Wizards for 2 second-round picks. I think Cam is going to thrive on a crappy team. I think he's going to average 22 a game on a very bad Washington Wizards team. I think that's – if you had told me, like, okay, if you'd asked me, like, what do you think – what's Cam Whitmore's future in the NBA? What's his best life in the NBA? It's probably being the leading scorer on a team that wins 16 games in the NBA.
I'm going to bring back one from way back. Kyle Lowry going to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry will tell you himself that, you know what, that was a little bit of the kick in the butt that I needed to understand where I was in the league and how I needed to turn it around. Because people will say, wow, the Rockets were idiots for trading away Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry says that the version of himself that he became – that never would have happened if he hadn't gotten traded. He needed that wake-up call. I'm skeptical that Cam Whitmore is going to see this as a wake-up call or anything else along those lines.
Yeah.
That's where, because he does. He has great, great, great talent, but it just sounds like Udoka did not just appreciate the way he operated.
Yeah, I mean, there are degrees of things too, right? Yeah. I mean, like, did we ever hear Kyle Lowry being, kind of truculent behind the scenes, sulking about,
let me pull out my 2011 notebook.
It's more of a rhetorical question or a question for the text page if somebody knows and they want to text in if you have an article. But Kyle Lowry's the extreme version. I mean, Kyle Lowry became I'm counting it up now. Kyle Lowry's a 6-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Like that's and was the point guard on a championship team in 2019. So that's the extreme version, but you're absolutely right. Like this should be a wake-up call for Cam Whitmore, if for no other reason than year 3 is when teams really start to make decisions on how much they think you're worth moving forward. And I will cite Jabari Smith Jr.'s contract last week and Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün's contracts a year ago.
The biggest thing I had forgotten about this one. Okay, so I found one article saying Kyle Lowry had not been happy with his role in the organization. But then I also forgot about the incident that he ended up getting sentenced community service for in 2012. When he got frustrated with a female referee at a charity basketball game in Las Vegas and he threw a basketball at her. What the hell?
Well, that was right around the time he got traded.
What's this charity? God.
That was right around the time he got traded from the Rockets to the Raptors. So maybe that was part of the whole wake-up call thing. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, are you for it? You let Dylan Brooks ride in the parade? Dylan Brooks is the only one I would let ride in the parade who's not on the Rockets anymore, by the way.
Cam Whitmore would not be riding in the parade. Jalen Green would not be. Dylan Brooks, yes.
Dylan Brooks, yes. Our show is a yes right now on that. All right, up next. All right, I was asked this question yesterday. It's not a bad topic. Hippolito is a listener of ours. He said, hey, when will the Astros lose a series next? All right. This is a segment where we try to tamp back the overconfidence for what's coming up on the schedule.
We're going to tell you about how the Astros actually suck. Coming up next.
When will the Astros lose a series? We'll run through it and we'll tell you coming up next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.